We're just a couple months out from Election Day 2014, and here in North Carolina, that means all eyes are on not just the U.S. Senate race between Kay Hagan and Tom Tillis, but also on the race for seats in the state legislature, the General Assembly. Joining us now by phone is Tom Jensen, Director of Public Policy Polling based out of Raleigh. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So what is the state of things? We talked about the Senate race last week when we were on the air, not just in North Carolina, but also the state of things nationwide. Taking a look at the race for the General Assembly in North Carolina, what is the state of things there? Democrats obviously need to make big gains if they want to come close to retaking one of the two houses. What are the odds of that happening?
Well, what it looks like Democrats have a really good chance of doing is at least getting the legislature to the point where Republicans don't have a veto-proof majority in the House and Senate, which right now they have over 72 seats in the House, over 30 seats in the Senate, and that's sort of what the baseline is for having a veto-proof majority. And what's sort of been interesting about polling with the legislative races this year is you've seen a lot of polls sort of trickling out from Democrats about what's going on in various legislative districts, but you're not seeing polls trickle out from the Republicans. And what that's an indicator of is that there's a fair number of districts where Democrats have a pretty decent chance of getting some seats back this year, whereas Republicans are in a much tougher position. And there's a couple particular areas of the state where we're seeing Democrats in a really good position to make gains. We found that even though voters everywhere have been mad with the legislature, a couple places that sort of in particular stand out are both Wake County and then the mountains out in the western part of the state. We've seen polls showing, for instance, Representative Tom Murray in Wake County in a lot of trouble where voters are particularly concerned about education. Out in the western part of the state, we've seen incumbents like Tim Moffitt and Michelle Presnell in a lot of trouble where Republicans have particularly gotten people mad with some of the local control issues where they've sort of tried to go in and tell local government what to do. And then another big name that steps out as a Republican who's in a lot of trouble is Mike Stone, a little bit south of Chapel Hill in a district where fracking's been a big issue. So you sort of see some of these specific issues that have made a lot of news really putting some of these specific legislators in danger.
It's an interesting case in North Carolina because, and we were talking about this last week too, when you have a midterm election, especially in the president's sixth year, and this is a historical trend going back decades, the opposition party tends to do very well. And sort of the similar case here in North Carolina where you had big gains for the Republicans in the last couple of elections, and now the Democrats are due for a little bit of a bounce back, but both of those are sort of working at odds with each other. So do you see turnout in favor of Republicans nationwide working against potential Democratic gains in North Carolina or vice versa when it comes to the Hagan-Tillis race?
Well, I think what we have in North Carolina that's really unusual compared to the rest of the country this year is these sort of countervailing trends. Everywhere voters are mad at Obama, so that's a problem for Democrats, and that includes in North Carolina. But in North Carolina, you also have these sort of trends working in the opposite way, where voters are mad at the Republican legislature and they're mad at Governor McCrory. So I think what that leads us to is sort of having more of an even election year. I think there's some states you're going to look at and say, oh, Republicans had a really, really good year in such and such state. And I think it's going to be more complicated than that in North Carolina. I think when we wake up the morning after the election, Democrats in the state are going to have some things that they can feel good about. Republicans in the state are going to have some things that they can feel good about, too. It's going to be sort of more of a mixed bag because there just are, you know, a lot of places where people are quite unhappy with Republicans, quite unhappy with the legislature. And as you sort of alluded to, Republicans won almost everything in North Carolina that was close in 2010 and 2012. And what that means for this election is that there's really not a whole lot of stuff that Republicans could potentially win that they didn't win the last couple times around. And it means that Democrats have a really wide playing field for trying to make some pickups. And certainly the conditions are right for them in some of these districts where voters really acutely associate their incumbent legislators with all the unpopular things the Republicans have done.
I like your optimism there that you're planning on actually getting some sleep the night after the election.
Well, it'll be a late night, especially for Senate watchers with Alaska, where the polls don't even close until midnight. But we should have a pretty good idea of the state situation. Hopefully, all the problems we had with full election results on primary night will have been worked out by the fall, and then we'll have sort of things move a little faster.
So take a look at issues across the country. Obviously, yesterday there was a nationwide protest, including one here in the Triangle in Durham. People protesting for higher wages for fast food workers, and that raises the question of the minimum wage issue, which has been gaining traction in the last couple of years, and especially this year. Where do people stand on that?
We really find that the minimum wage is increasing. It is overwhelmingly popular. Nationally, we generally find between 55 and 60% of voters support it. Only about 30 to 35% of voters oppose it. And, of course, this has been a big issue in the U.S. Senate race in North Carolina. Tom Tillis has really kind of obfuscated on it. And I think the reason he's done that is because to keep the Republican base happy, he can't come out and say he supports increasing the minimum wage. But if he actually says he opposes increasing the minimum wage, you put yourself in a position where you're aggravating 60, 65% of voters in the state. So he's clearly decided the best position on that one is to sort of try to avoid taking a position. But not just in North Carolina, but in a lot of the other key Senate states this year, places like Arkansas, Louisiana, Alaska, the minimum wage is one of the issues that Democrats really need to sort of focus on. Because it is a good issue for them. You know, they know they're going to get hit over the head with Obamacare, which is not terribly popular in these states that voted for Mitt Romney. But the minimum wage is something where Democrats are completely unified about it. You're not going to antagonize any Democrats by supporting an increase in the minimum wage. And you actually get about a third of Republicans on that issue, too. It's something where there's a little less polarization than some of the other big issues right now. So it's a winner for Democrats.
Is that across the board sort of nationwide, or are there regions or states where it's more or less popular?
It really is something we've been pulling at state by state all year. We haven't found a state yet where there's not support for increasing the minimum wage, and not just for increasing it a little bit, but for increasing it all the way up to $10 an hour. We found state after state, even really conservative ones, there's at least plurality support for that $10 minimum wage. So it's a pretty prototypical issue where the public feels very strongly about it, but because of the divided government in Washington, we haven't really seen any action on it yet.
Does support drop for increasing it more and more if you ask about, say, $15 an hour like we saw in Seattle? Does support drop for that?
Yeah, $15 is asking a bit much both places. Most places, when we sort of ask about that, you do see the support drop a fair amount. But the $10 minimum wage, still a pretty substantial increase from where we are right now. Some Republicans have sort of countered with let's raise it to 8 or let's raise it to 9, sort of a more incremental increase. But we've really found across the board, even when you get into the Mississippis and Montanas and Kansases of the world that almost never vote for Democrats, that people really are pretty solidly behind $10.
And we're speaking with Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling. Obviously going to be an exciting couple of months running up to the 2014 election. Before we let you go, one more completely unrelated question having to do not with November, but with the big issue this weekend. What's your take on UNC San Diego?
Well, I think it's going to be a close game. San Diego State's definitely sort of been a perennial ball contender in recent years, but I think the Tar Heels will take it. Let's go with 31-17.
All right, sounds good. Tar Heel superfan and public policy polling director Tom Jensen, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.